I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you ready for what God's willing? For real, okay? For real. Because He has got the whole world in His hands, and if you invite those babies into your little life, you should just anticipate intense change and an extreme makeover. Because to the degree that you surrender control, God is going to turn up the throttle. It's what He does. He's all power all the time. And it's not because He's a maniac. It's because He loves us and doesn't want us suffering through this school of separation down here one more minute than is absolutely necessary. So when your prayer makes way for more of His work, He's going to take you up on that opportunity. And we just got to know that. But when we grow enough to actually willingly invite Him to push the process, we say, Lord, come on, I'm praying, come be a part of this thing that I'm doing down here. We need to be aware that we are also asking Him to take the kid gloves off. We are saying, your will be done, even if it ain't anywhere near mine. Amen?
Amen.
We better know that's what we're doing. And that means we need to brace ourselves for the possibility that God's most powerful answer to any of our simplest prayers might manifest as unexpected, overwhelming, disruptive, or confusing discomfort. Because God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share His holiness. It's all positive. However, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, right? Here's the good news. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, you know, who've had to experience that. And yet, the problem is we tend to think of prayer, the way that we use prayer, we tend to think of prayer as a way for God to save us from our problems. But Scripture consistently shows prayer as a way for God to speak to us through our problems, right? Using our problems, not getting rid of them. Because one way or another, all of the hardships in your life that we're experiencing down here, all of them are already serving a purpose, right? He wouldn't allow them unless they served a purpose. And unless that purpose is fulfilled through our prayer, right? If He's just trying to get us to like surrender and come to Him and pray, well, God may choose to fulfill it through our hardship. Because if our difficulty was simply meant to just get us to pray, like, I'm going to put you through this because you got to stop relying on yourself, well, then it may no longer be necessary once we do. Once we finally crack and go, fine, Lord, you're up because I'm done with this thing. He goes, okay, well, then we can take care of it because I just needed to get you to that point. Otherwise, prayer is fulfilled through understanding our experience, not controlling it. Okay? You're supposed to be having this. We're supposed to see what we're doing, not trying to necessarily change it. And the stories in Scripture make this point over and over and over to make sure that we get it. And here it is. Prayer is aimed at changing hearts, not circumstances. Changing people, right? Not circumstances. And so I want to look at a couple of case studies to make this point. Okay, take Joseph. We're going to start with Joseph. Everybody familiar with the story of Joseph?
Yeah.
If you've gone to this church for a while, you're really familiar with Joseph because we... Anyway, and it's great. I'm not saying that like it was wonderful. It's excellent. It was a great decade of our lives. But Joseph, his story starts with his siblings, right? His beloved siblings selling him into slavery before enduring years of unjust imprisonment. And although we don't know his precise prayers, because we're not actually given the literal prayers that he prayed at the time, I think it's safe to assume that they had the similarity with the plea that he made to his cellmate, which was, get me out of this prison, right? Like, I want to know more to this. I was forcibly carried off. I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. And so we know that the Lord was with him in everything that he did, right? Even though we're told that the Lord was with him in everything that he did, it's safe to assume that he was saying, can we be done with this now? And yet his appeal gets forgotten. And he spends more years in jail. And while it would be very easy to assume that God just left him unanswered, oh, I forgot about Joseph, I was doing that thing there. It turns out that the hardship was part of a process to answer the right way at the right time for the most good. It wasn't forgetting anything. He was setting it up. Because when it does happen, He's not just granted physical freedom. He's given spiritual liberty and clarity and authority. And he's able to, at that point, explain God's superior answer. He says, listen, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. All the stuff that you thought was bad, he intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So he answered it all right. And right here, right at the beginning, in book number one of the Bible, Joseph establishes a foundational principle of God's process that we need to know. Which is this, we don't need to know how God works to know that he works, okay? Like, get that through your head. He's not going to reveal it necessarily all the time on your timeline. We frequently don't, as a matter of fact. And while Joseph had to struggle through a seemingly unfair set of circumstances the whole time, along the way, his faith and fortitude was growing. With all of that, you know, what are we doing here, Lord? I'm sure there was a lot of like crying out and grumbling about it and everything and saying, what are we doing here? And while it grew enough for God to use him in a position of power and prominence that exceeded, far exceeded his highest expectations of freedom. So that to say, if your hardship feels unfair, if you're going through anything right now, and it feels unfair. What are we doing here, Lord? Why is this happening? That does not mean that God is ignoring your prayers. It is likely just the early stages of an answer that is training you to have the maturity and the obedience that you're going to need so that you can handle the responsibility and authority that he is planning on providing. He's setting you up. He's training you. He's saying, I'm answering this thing, but we got to get you somewhere first. And so we shouldn't act, you know, when you hear that, you're like, oh, what a churchy thing to say. You know, oh, let's hang in there. It's going to be that. This is not some foreign religious concept, okay? This is something that we all agree on. The common consensus is already believed by everybody because we say things like, you got to crack some eggs to make an omelet. Right? That's something that has to happen. So don't dwell on what looks like a bad break in the present. Fix your focus on the tasty omelet of your future. That's the message here today. The tasty omelet of your future. After all, seeing something where it's going, like telling the future, seeing where something is headed, that is always very difficult for us. But we all also already agree that hindsight is 20/20. That is the best way to see something. So maybe we should look around and ask if God is already answering before our asking turns angry. You know, make sure that he's not answering your prayer right where you are right now. Otherwise, we might make the same mistake as the disciples. God bless the disciples. We love the disciples because they make us feel better about ourselves making the same mistakes all the time, right? And they're frequently in boats and situations where you're like, yep, I'd do that same thing too. Like the boat in the middle of the stormy sea, right? Which time? All of them. But the time in the middle of the where they spoke directly to Jesus. I mean, talk about like that's as close and personal as prayer can get. They spoke directly to Jesus in one of the shortest and most honest prayers recorded in Scripture. It goes like this. The disciples went and woke Jesus, right? We're in the storm, everything's, he's on that pillow driving them crazy. And they woke Jesus and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown, right? That's a good prayer. And a lot of us have prayed that same prayer. And so he replies, though. We get to see how he replies to this prayer in real time. And he says, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? You know, crazy, like it's happening. He's like, that's why we're afraid. What are you, you know? And then after he has that response, then he got up. I mean, then he got up. That means he's still laying on the cushion. Why are you so afraid? I mean, you just got to love this moment, right? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves. But first, really put yourself there, right? First, they're like, we have Jesus in our boat. We're praying right to him. If anything's like going to get it done, this is it. So first, I'm sure the disciples thought, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? That's not saving anyone, Jesus. To which Jesus could have responded because this would have been such a Jesus thing. Or is it? You know, or is it? Maybe I am. To drive them completely insane, which is, again, where we really get the disciples. We're like, what are you doing? Because Jesus drives you crazy sometimes, right? Jesus' practice of answering with questions instead of straightforward solutions, like just stop the storm, right? When he does that, it's exactly the sort of frustrating behavior that makes us question our answers, even if it's in an incredulous, what are you talking about, way. Which happens all the time where you're like, Lord, you know, help me with this thing. And he's like, I'm working on it. And you're like, how? You're making things worse. And he's like, or am I? You know? And when all is said and done, however, we get to see how this works, right? Lord, save us. And he goes, I am. They're not just saved from physical death. They're actually brought one step closer to truly understanding who he is, what he can do, and the saving that they truly need. Right? He's like, I do not think it means what you think it means. I am saving you, right? So if you right now are praying in that same way, if you're praying to be rescued from some form of serious storm in your life, remember this. Waiting, if God's making you wait, if that's what it feels like, waiting may be God's way of baiting you into a higher perspective where you can see his higher purpose. If he's making you ask, Lord, what are we doing? He's like, great question. What am I doing? Because God allows things to threaten our life if it'll make us question our life. That's what we're here to do. What are we doing? Because it's those overwhelming circumstances. It's not when everything's going easy, right? It's not in the still waters. It's overwhelming circumstances is often where we start looking past this life and discover what Jesus truly offers and who he truly is. Because as we know, once again, we all say it, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor. I love that expression. That is so true. No, you need to chop it up a little bit. So before you try to like team up with God and get him to settle your struggle down, you know, like let's just take care of this storm, make sure it's not the very vehicle that is bringing you his blessing. He's like, you sure you want me to take it away? Because this is what it's all about. I'm answering your prayer. Christ may be using your chaos right now to push your perspective past this place and answer your prayers for calm by driving you toward a way higher peace. Because in both life and faith, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so maybe he's really just pushing it to get you there. Okay, so really think about that. And then I got another one for you. I got David. How about David, right? There's David in his prayer, which is kind of a different kind of case study for this. Because he had God's endorsement, right? His heart, he was the man after God's heart. And so he had that endorsement. And yet his heart fails in the whole Bathsheba affair. And only after he's found out and then feels the fallout does he finally pray what he should have in the first place, which is, create in me a pure heart, oh God. Oh boy, I really botched it here. And renew. We got to go back. We got to get this thing. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Put me on that path. And although I am pretty sure that David wanted his convicting offense to be totally forgiven and forgotten, like most of us would, it's like, hey, look, I said I'm sorry. Can we not talk about it or think about it or just ignore it forever and ever and ever? God's answer doesn't erase his past at all. And that is because we need to know this. God often uses our past to answer prayers of the present. Said, I can use that stuff that's already happened as part of the answer. And since God was not interested in preserving David's reputation at the expense of his heart, he's like, no, you're praying for your heart. Here I come. We're going to do that. Instead, he emphasizes his sin, right? He really draws attention to it. He's in the Bible as the don't do this guy at that point, right? So he emphasizes the outer collapse that David wanted to forget to preserve the inner transformation that David needed to remember. Because carrying the consequences and conviction of his mistake not only led him to that real repentance, you know, that purified his heart like he was asking for. He's like, here you go. This is how we get you to purify your heart. But it also made him steadfast, which he prayed for, by making ignorance impossible if he ever tried to repeat the same self-deception. He's saying, you got to carry this with you. I don't want to forgive and forget this thing. I want to forgive and let's keep it around, right? That's why scars exist. So if you've prayed for God's restoration, right? Something that you're trying to just like leave in the path, but you feel stuck with the painful fallout of sin, right? Like, why is this still aching? Well, God's intent is likely not to shame you, but to heal you. Because, like we all say already, also, failure is the best teacher, right? Failure is the, I am the living proof of that, guys. Failure is the best teacher. I fail so much, which is why I'm third grade level. But if that is true, like we all say, if failure is the best teacher, then we probably shouldn't try to forget what it taught. We should say, that was a big mistake, and I'm not going to do it again. We should live and learn by telling the whole truth so thoroughly that we finally become free from it, right? There's not anything, no skeletons in our closet. We're so open and honest about everything, and we talk about it, that we're just free from it. It's in our past. Which brings us to good old Paul. Paul, whose story brings kind of all this idea to a theological climax, because he's the New Testament MVP, right? Like, Paul is the man. And he, yet, at the same time, this MVP prays repeatedly for flat-out removal of his thorny difficulty, the way that most of us, I think, would pray the same way. He says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to just take it away from me, right? Just take it away from me. But we get to see how he responds. The Lord, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is good, right? And so we get to see even God's Holy Ghost rider doesn't get the green light to his prayer the way that I'm sure he was hoping. Like, can we just take it away? Rather, instead, he's asked to sit and stew in one of our own human platitudes when God essentially says, sorry, bud, but, you know, the darker the night, the brighter the stars. And it's true. You know why he says it? It's because it's true. These are things that, you know why we say them? Because they're true. These are things that we already believe. These are the bits of wisdom that we collect and we know and we understand. Bless you. But we just forget about them. All of our favorite, the things that we say over and over again, everyone goes, yeah, that's true. We need to, the Bible's just highlighting, you already know this stuff. But the real question here is, if Paul already knows that, if he's got the common knowledge, he's a smart guy all over the place, you know, all kinds of philosophy in there. And if he already suspected such a potential purpose, then why was he praying for God to take it away? Why wasn't he just saying like, oh, I know, you know, this is how things go down here. Well, I want to say this again. Remember, prayer isn't about getting our way. It's about finding the right way. Okay? It's not about telling him what to do. It's about finding out what we're supposed to do. So when Paul prays for healing, he's really asking something like, okay, Lord, so what are we doing here? Are we taking the love conquers all miracles happen path and we're going to show everybody like how powerful you are? Or are we doing the let it go, learn to trust path, and I'm going to like have my faith lean into you more that way? Or are we doing the no pain, no gain, struggle build strength path? Because I know it's going to be something, so I'm just saying take it away or don't, or what do we do? You know, like that's the prayer. And however it happened, however he came to that conclusion, it did take 3 no's, right? He's like, Lord, take it away. Take it away, Lord, and no thank you. And we don't know how it happens, but he heard his answer. He got the picture. And when he did, he says, well, that answer, that is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. That's what we're doing here. And so if you are having that same thing, which again, I think most of us are, it's safe to say, if you're afflicted with something, anything that you wish wasn't there, go ahead and pray for God to take it. We're supposed to take this from me, Lord. But if he doesn't, if you pray and he lets it remain, do yourself a favor and find the prayer that your present path is trying to answer. Because if he's letting it stay there, he's trying to answer something. So start praying that prayer. Find that prayer. Because the sooner that you see the purpose, the sooner you can start cooperating with God and celebrating your struggle, right? Like, oh, I see what we're doing. And you know how I know this? Because I can say this with 100% certainty. Here's how I can say this. And I want you to buckle up. I've got cancer. Okay? For real. I've got cancer. I have been getting tests and scans and biopsies all December. And 2 minutes to my birthday, last Tuesday, we got confirmation that I have papillary thyroid cancer. But before you all freak out, which you're not, good. Either you're in a deep enough sleep that you didn't hear it, and that's okay, and that's all right. Or whatever, you're like, who doesn't? We're all going through something. Correct, okay? Let me clarify. It is one of the most treatable types of cancer. And once they cut it out with a neckectomy and they just take the neck away and then just a head on shoulders. Once they do that, you'll probably be stuck with me for years to come. So please don't cry for me. I know that many of you, I know you. You guys, you're my family. I love you guys. And I know so many of you personally and individually are dealing with way harder circumstances with a way braver heart. And so my prayer, I want you to know, my prayer for you is that God uses your intimidating path, and I'm sure it's intimidating and scary and crazy, to reveal, I hope he uses that path, to reveal an overwhelming answer to one of your past, present, or future prayers. Because he is, somehow, some way, and I know this because I know he's using mine. I've seen it, I've felt it, my wife and I, it's just happening, it's in real time. And I know he's using mine because just like the dozens of case studies in the Bible that you can just find a lot of people. I mean, I had to cut a bunch of, I wanted to do a whole bunch of them. But all these people in the Bible and people that we know and who we are, I made the same mistake. I made this mistake of praying with the expectation of a shallow earthly answer from an infinite, omnipotent God. You know, I'm like, hey, can you just help me out a little bit? I've been praying, Lord, I want to be a better pastor. I do. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be sincere. I want to be up here and I want to talk for real. I want to have a deeper faith. I want to be more disciplined. I need my compassion to be grown. I need all of this stuff. And for some reason, while I'm praying that, I thought he would just dial back the distractions or something. He'd just make Netflix a little less appealing, you know? And I'm like, thanks, Lord. That's what I was really getting at. But that's just not who he is. You know, that is not who he is. He doesn't hold anything back when his kids ask for his help. He'll do whatever it takes. And if you limit his character to cute and cuddly, you are dangerously underestimating his role in your life. Because he's holding the whole thing. C.S. Lewis, this is one of my favorites. C.S. Lewis nails the character of God with Aslan the lion as his picture of Jesus in the Chronicles of Narnia. And there's this incredible, wonderful, like, you know, scene where their children, Lucy and Susan, are preparing to meet Aslan, you know, like face to face. And they're, you know, a little daunting. So they wonder what it's like to be so close to something so powerful. So they ask, is he safe? And they're answered, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He is good. And I'm telling you, so is God. God is good. And that means that even the scary stuff leads to the good stuff. Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Period. And I will be honest, that's hard to see. For a minute, I didn't see it. I was like, I'm praying for growth, Lord, not a growth. And I was like, maybe it's lost in translation. And I was looking for anything to be like, something's wrong. Hello, God, do it the way I said. But as soon as I calmed down, he led me right back to the prayer that he was trying to answer with cancer. Because I'm praying, and he's like, I am answering it, dummy. I am answering it. Because when my mortality came into focus, so did my faith. Like I had been dreaming. I mean, I tell you, you're waiting for all of the results to come back. You know, a lot of you know this. You're living in this moment that you're just not certain anymore. That's a gift. That's an incredible place to be. My wife and I just woke up in a way that we have wanted to for quite a while, that we've prayed for. And this all happened in December over the holidays and stuff too. And it was great. You know why? Because Christmas presents didn't matter near as much as the people all of a sudden. And you know how much I pray going into Christmas to say, Lord, help me to try and keep you at the center. Keep you as the focus, because I'm just going to get distracted by all the remote control helicopters. I'm just that guy, right? Like, I'm just going to do it. And all of a sudden, I was like, Lord, you are in control. This is happy birthday to you. This is all you are. Whew. And all of a sudden, sharing our faith at, you know, overnight, sharing our faith felt like a delight instead of a duty. And that's another thing I've been praying for, is like, I just want to be more bold with that. And we started praying every day with hearts that were just full of peace and joy and gratitude. And I've been praying for that. And my wife even let me off the hook for a 2-year-long bathroom remodel. God is good. I am telling you right there. I mean, just right there. God is doing, the amount of good he is doing is unfathomable, because there's nothing that could have got me out of that doghouse. And there we are. And now, anyway, it's not even important. We won't go down that road, but what you need to hear is this. Therefore, here's the good news. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, okay, not ours, one of the most important 3-4 words, whatever that is, in the Bible, according to his will, not ours. The way that you say, Lord, come in here with those big whole world in your hands, get in here. When we ask according to his will, what he wants to do, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him, but only the way that he wants to give it. Okay? If you get to know that he's answering it the way that he knows is best. So, what does all this mean? This is what I want you to take away. Be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. Amen. Okay? Really, I really want you to think about that, because we treat him as, you know, either the genie or whatever, but sometimes we just treat him as an advisor who's going to help us out with something. Not the creator of the universe coming in here to do something. And you need to expect something significant might shake things up when the creator of the universe is given permission to rearrange your room. He's coming in there. He's like, I can answer that prayer. I can do that for you. You want more faith? Oh, I'll give you more faith. Here it comes. You need to be ready for that. So buckle up. Because if you're not ready for the answer that God is willing, it might feel like it's hurting more than it's helping. But that's not who he is. He is helping. But his way ain't usually our way. But it is the best way. Because it may not be safe, but it is guaranteed to be good. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God. Father God, we love you. And we thank you for hearing us and leading us by making us ready to receive the answer that you are willing to give us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you prepare our heart for your work by teaching us how to change our perspective to cooperate with our circumstances. And Lord Jesus, we praise you as the Savior in all storms and the Lord of all the different outcomes. And we just ask that you give us Joseph's patience, David's repentance, and Paul's obedience, so that we can see your good in our hardship is the answer to all of our prayers. And that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.